This program is a production of the Reformed Forum, online at reformedforum.org. This is the Reformed Media Review, episode number 17. Today we discuss the new DVD, Collision, Is Christianity Good for the World? A documentary of the debates between Christopher Hitchens and Douglas Wilson. Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. This is our occasional look at books and culture from a Reformed perspective. Reformed refers to the reviewers, not to the reviewees. And I'm very pleased to have with me today in the studio, Jared Oliphant, who is Director of Admissions at Westminster Theological Seminary. Thanks for coming over, Jared.
Thanks for having me, Camden.
We also have along our side, Jonathan Brack, who is a student at Westminster. He's also in the admissions department. What's your official title there? Do you have a title?
Admissions counselor.
Admissions counselor. Excellent. So we're going to talk today about a new DVD entitled Collision, Is Christianity Good for the World? It's a debate, kind of a documentary of a debate, really, between Christopher Hitchens and Douglas Wilson. It's an excellent DVD. I've been watching some of it, and we'll get to that in just a second. We're going to have a critical review of it, looking at its apologetic methodology and looking at all sorts of fun stuff. So it's a different look for Reformed Media Review today, but that's why we call it the Reformed Media Review and not the Reformed Book Review, because we do discuss things other than books. But before we get going there, I wanted to give you, Jared, and both you and Jonathan, some opportunity to talk also about Westminster and admissions. And I've got a few questions for you, because the last time you were on, we got some feedback, so I'd like to send that your way. But
sure.
First, why don't you just tell us what you're doing?
Right now we're doing less than we usually do because it's closing in on the end of the semester. But that gives us a chance to kind of regroup and see what we got going events-wise for the spring, even for next fall. A lot of what I'm going to be doing, and Jonathan is going to help out with this a little bit, but Westminster is promoting these full confidence in Scripture tours. So we're going around to different cities, and a lot of our professors, different professors, are just really lecturing and speaking to churches in different cities like Denver, Tampa. We even have a couple of Canadian dates that are in the works right now.
Canadian!
Yeah, for our Canadian listeners.
There are many.
Are there? Good. It's basically just another resource for the church. It's helping the church understand that we can have full confidence in Scripture, and we tackle it from all angles. So we have apologetics profs, systematics profs, practical theology profs, and just really doing that all across America. So I'll be involved with that, hopefully sending prospective students to those lectures. Yeah. To get an idea of what's going on at Westminster.
Now, it's really a reaffirmation of historic or traditional Westminster, which we see very much in line with old Princeton, right?
That's exactly right, yeah.
So that's the intention of it, just to reaffirm where we are, who we are as a school, and
yeah,
promoting that.
And addressing, you know, a lot of the doctrine of Scripture issues that have cropped up in the last, you know, well, I'd say probably 10 years or so,
yeah.
And just really taking a stance and making it clear.
So where can people find out more about those, and can anyone partake electronically if they're not able to actually go? Is there such a thing, or can we hear recordings? Or
yeah, all of them are going to be recorded. I don't know about live streaming and things like that, but if that's not available, then we're getting all of these recorded in some form. So those are going to be up on our media site.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you tell us about that, too? I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, right now, I mean, to be honest, there's a lot more work to do on the structure of it and, you know, the access and how easily you can access some of those lectures. But we have this huge audio archive that we put together that literally has hundreds and hundreds of lectures from, you know, Van Til and Murray to modern lectures with recent profs. Really profs from every era at Westminster.
Mm.
Clowney, you know, all the big names.
Murray's good, but I got to tell you, some of those will put you to sleep.
I know. It's funny. Yeah. He can be a little dry at times. The content's great, but sometimes the delivery isn't quite there.
But Van Til, I mean, Jonathan, you were mentioning some of those, how funny they were to listen to. And I went back and listened to a few of Dr. Van Til's lectures, and I was busting up laughing.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone that's brand new to Van Til apologetics would just immediately start laughing. But the more and more you read his lecture, his literature, and then you listen to him, it actually is very humorous. He has dry humor, He has a lot of philosophy jokes, which a lot of people would think is very nerdy, but they're great. I did want to say something else about the Full Confidence Tour. Right now, you can listen to the first Full Confidence Tour that was at Amarillo, Texas, on the Christ Covenant Presbyterian in Amarillo, their website. I'm not sure what the website is.
I'll try to put it in the show notes. You can definitely find it through the OPC website.
Right, but if you go into their the sermons, then you can, the sermons part of the website, you can, they're under miscellaneous, and you can listen to Dr. Jew and Dr. Garner deliver at the Full Confidence. And I did listen to them, and they are awesome.
They really are. I was down there when they were giving the lectures, and the congregation was just eating up every word. It really is good. I'm not just saying that because they're, I mean, they're great lectures.
That's ccop.org is the website. You can find it. There's some stuff on the Facebook page, too, if I'm not mistaken. More like really basically a promotional trailer for the conferences if you want to get a catch a glimpse of what's going on there.
Yeah, that's right. Our Facebook page, we put on the quote-unquote trailer, and that's from our YouTube account as well.
Okay,
And I'll give you the idea.
We're all over the place.
Yeah, I know. We put them in different locations.
New Media. That's
but,
good.
It's just, if you remember Westminster Online, it's facebook.com/Westminster Online and then youtube.com/Westminster Online. And what we do there is just try to put up little blurb lectures.
And I think if you just go to WTS.edu, it's resources, isn't it? You'll find everything there. Cool.
I do want to add that we in the admissions office are currently working on getting Westminster involved in the iTunes.
iTunes U.
iTunes U. Yeah. So just
much
to make
like
it,
RTS.
And yeah.
They've been doing a lot of great stuff there for a long time. And so Westminster's going to get their feet wet.
Oh, eventually. RTS is like the model right now. They do so many good lectures. Covenant's becoming on, been on board.
Yes. I found a lot there too.
Mm-hmm.
You find a lot of these things on the Gospel Coalition too. If you go to thegospelcoalition.org, they post a lot, and Westminster has stuff there. But
yeah.
We don't really have a date on when that will be launched and it'll go live, but we are right in the middle of
You're talking
working
to
out
Apple
the
and everything about it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. I had one more question for you related to our discussion on Christ the Center, episode 100. We had one question. Yeah, you laughed.
The notorious.
Yeah, the notorious, the infamous love it or hate it episode 100.
Right.
In some ways, we're doing this in person again just to show how reasoned and calm we can actually be.
Yeah, right.
And we've kept up to that. We've lived up to that challenge as to now. See in the next few minutes if we can maintain it.
Right. We'll see.
But I did have a question about distance education, and I wanted to ask you about Westminster's opportunities for that, what you think about it, and then I can share my own two cents because I actually partook of it before actually moving out here.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most frequently asked questions that we get in the admissions office. And, it really, you have to speak to the philosophy of education of a school when you talk about distance ed.
Yeah. And you got Westminster West, who is very upfront about, because in person is still better, I think is the phrase.
That's exactly right. That's what they, if you go to events where they're, showing their booth or their table or whatever, that's their tagline. And I see a lot of validity in that. And then you have the clear other end of the spectrum with RTS, and they do tons of virtual stuff. We have just a few classes that are available online, and it's through ITS.
I think it's International Theological Studies or something. Yeah. I forget what it was.
I'm horrible. I should know. It slipped my mind what that stands for. But
Institute of Theological
Institute.
Studies.
Institute of
so
Theological
generic,
Studies.
So generic, I think.
Yeah.
Real generic.
It's the Institute.
You're an institute.
But
Denny's is an institution.
We feel like if you're studying for ministry, that is a vocation where you are dealing with people, and so studying or in training to do that, you need to be around people. That's mandatory. You cannot get a full ministry degree
online. And let's be clear, RTS doesn't offer an MDiv.
That's
it's the same philosophy, but they just I've been speaking lately with a guy who actually puts those program the classes together. That's his job. It's interesting.
Nice.
But so he's clued me into a little of their philosophy too, so nobody says that person to person is not a good idea.
Right.
But it's a matter of how much you incorporate it into your program.
That's
so,
right.
So just a few classes at Westminster.
Just a few. And that's for people in very specific scenarios where it's impossible to, you know, come on campus. Because, you know, a lot of the times people just kind of assume that the seminary education is going to come to them. And they assume that because that's really the philosophy of culture out there. Yeah. Everything does come to you. So seminary should be the same. Likewise,
television's effect on our culture.
Yeah, right. But seminary is just completely different. I mean, if you're training for ministry, like I said, you are going to go on campus and study under professors, be mentored, and you just kind of have to, you know, change your mindset about that a little bit.
Yeah, one of the things that's real popular with what's the premier online seminary these days?
Oh, is it Rockbridge?
Yeah.
They're kind of a startup. Yeah, they're exclusively online.
One of the questions
they
ask is...
like the Phoenix University of seminaries?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions they ask is, you know, why uproot yourself from your church and your family to go and get your...
Well, that's interesting.
And it's I always think of like, why sell all your things and follow me? Just, but that, of course, that's straw. That's a straw man sort of understanding of...
Yeah, well, it's interesting that they... The reason for doing going digital, according to that argument, is to stay with your church. That's interesting, though, because they still obviously see a value for person to person,
right?
But they not necessarily in education.
In training,
the reason
they
do electronic education is to maintain the person to person. I find that interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I did say a little while ago, Westminster West. I apologize to all you guys out there. It is Westminster Seminary, California. I realize that. And I'm sure
very
that
important.
I sound very obnoxious when I say Westminster and refer to Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, technically Glenside, Pennsylvania. So I am aware of those distinctions. I apologize to all you guys who graduated, you know, in the 90s or later.
Right.
From Westminster Seminary, California.
Yeah.
WSCAL.edu.
Back then they called it West. What?
All right. Well, to get back more to our reason discussion.
Yeah.
We're speaking today about this DVD, Collision. Is Christianity Good for the World? It's a documentary of a series of debates between Christopher Hitchens and Doug Wilson. Let me play the trailer for you just so you can get a sense of what it's about.
Imagine there's no heaven above us, all right? No hell below us, all right? Above us, only sky, all right? Imagine there's no heaven, all right? I want you to fix this. There's no heaven, there's no hell below us, above us, only sky. What does that mean?
Because I think the teachings of Christianity are immoral. It's saying you must love someone who you also must fear, that's to say a supreme being.
He thinks Jesus Christ was a real person, was the Son of God, was crucified, dead and buried, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and rose again from the dead. So I know where I am with him.
Christopher Hitchens is a public intellectual, which is to say he's the kind of intellectual who matters. He's a man of great abilities, he's quick on his feet.
You put it modestly, but it is a fantastically arrogant claim. Isn't it rather the case that with God, anything is permissible?
I want you to give me the evidence for an objective moral standard that governs all of us. And you can't appeal to innate anything because those conflict. You can't appeal to the general consensus because those differ over time. You haven't given any evidence whatever for all your condemnations of this, that, and the other thing.
Grow, I mean it, Douglas, grow up. You have to.
By what standard do you condemn any action?
So you guys have watched this recently, actually been involved in the making of it.
Mm-hmm.
Jared appears in it, and I might appear in it. I couldn't spot myself in the crowd.
You probably did.
Yeah, I couldn't spot my white head. But anyway, why don't you, Jared or Jonathan, whoever wants to take the ball here, just give us an idea of what this DVD is, what its goal is, mm-hmm. and then all the history of it and Westminster Theological Seminary.
Sure, yeah. It started, it's a documentary on something. That something is a book that was really a collection of online debates. Wilson and Hitchens were kind of going back and forth via Christianity Today and their online, I guess, articles that they were writing for Christianity Today. So that was put in book form. And then, the powers that be that were in charge of marketing said, why don't we do a documentary on three separate locations that were going to be debates between these two, live debates. And they knew that they were going to start in New York. They were going to go to Philadelphia, and then they were going to go to D.C. And whoever was in charge of picking the location, Westminster didn't lobby for this at all. We just got the request out of the blue saying, can we come to Westminster and have Westminster be the Philadelphia site? It was interesting when we first got the invitation because when it was introduced to Westminster, a couple people were saying, well, we don't really agree with everything that Wilson says. There are some things that we may not follow him directly on all the way. So we might not want to do it. And I was just thinking, you're kind of missing the point there. I mean, hosting a debate, for an apologetics class, which really is what it was the goal, and just seeing apologetic method in action, regardless of whether you agree with every single point. And we can go on to talk about this further, but I think Wilson did a formidable job.
Yeah, I was very entertained in a good way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was educational. It was interesting. And it was sharpening to me as what I was watching, just to hone my... I remember being there and how interesting it was live, but I must also speak for the film editing and the presentation. I thought it was done very well.
I thought so too.
Low budget, but it was interesting. They kind of reveled in the low budget.
Yeah.
And did a good job. So I thought it was great. What do you think, Jonathan?
Yeah, I have to say that I would encourage every Westminster student and person who was at the debate at Westminster to watch the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The reason being because I watched the debate and I was thinking, I had that same mindset for when I watched the movie. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to be really impressed.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to like it that much. Mm-hmm. Christopher Hitchens got away with a lot of things. But when I watched the movie, I have to, give it to Doug Wilson. He did an excellent job of being clear on a transcendental argument and a presuppositional approach.
Yeah, and what we didn't see when we were at Westminster is the entire series.
Right.
And we need to remember that. Doug Wilson is presenting a Vantillian argument. We would disagree with him here and there, but that's beside the point. It's a very good approach, much better than almost anything you're going to see online or in person. It's very good. And his arguments are good and solid, and he does a good job arguing. Christopher Hitchens is a tremendous speaker, a tremendous intellect, a tremendous author. But it's interesting to see them go at each other. Christopher Hitchens, if you don't know, of course, has written Why God Is Not Great.
God Is Not Great, yeah.
What is it? Why Religion Poisons Everything?
Mm-hmm.
Is
another. Yeah, that's right.
And so he's very vitriolic in his approach. But it's interesting to see the two go at each other and to not be afraid to really go at it. I mean, really.
Right.
And they know this is a fundamental battle. Both of them know that, that somebody's going to not just lose an argument. It is a fundamental moral debate with cosmic implications.
And that was interesting to note because it seems as if right off the bat, even Christopher Hitchens realized a lack of neutrality, which is what we would teach, and he realized that as an atheist. And so it was good to see that he was not just sort of presenting a blasé agnosticism that you can kind of get away with just questioning everything and then I'll go on my merry way. Instead, he was directly against it, and he calls vicarious redemption immoral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he'll stand on that. Yeah. So it was good to see that there was some actual battles take place as far as argumentation.
Yes.
Now, I will say one of the most interesting things for me to see was Doug Wilson do an adequate job of answering an intellectual when Doug Wilson, he's not the premier reformed apologist who's just putting out apologetics books, left and right. He is a pastor.
Oh,
and
yes.
He writes books on like reforming marriage. But yet he, as a pastor and as a believer and as a reformed believer, he can give adequate answers to these sort of big shock.
They even show him playing his guitar and singing the doxology with his kids and, you know, in his home having a family meal, which shows more of the man.
Right.
That this apologetic springs out of a pastor's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not simply an ivory tower or an intellectual endeavor, but it's something that a real person is doing out of love for another person.
Yeah, right. And to turn it, you know, we mentioned this earlier, but Hitchens, there's a line where he basically says, this is not just a matter of losing or winning an argument.
Yeah.
The person has to admit real moral defeat if they lose the argument.
Yeah.
So like we said earlier, this goes beyond just kind of a philosophical logic puzzle that which one fits better.
Yeah.
It has a lot more at stake than that.
Yeah. Do you want to march through and let's talk about the movie? I know you have a series of notes here, much more prepared than I am. But why don't we talk about this a little more detail and share with the listener our critical notes so that they can take those and go and watch for themselves and see if they agree.
Sure. Yeah. I'll start it, then we can just kind of organically. What started all this for Hitchens, and he says this in the movie, he kind of psychoanalyzes himself, but he's in New York. This is part of the New York section when they're debating there at King's College. He says that on 9/11, he's witnessing everything that happened that day in New York, and his quote was, the most religious people on 9/11 were the pilots in the planes
that
were crashing in it. So. Yeah. He's saying,
fanatics.
You know,
fanatics. He likes to say that.
Yeah. And so really it's his whole mission from that point on is he has a problem with people claiming divine authority for doing certain things that he sees as immoral. And so he's on a mission from that point out. And that's a thread that runs through all the debates, New York, Philly, and D.C. So that's kind of how it starts. And that's, you know, like I said, Hitchens analyzing himself. And that's why it is like a moral issue, not just an argumentative issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when they start out the movie, as far as when they start asking both of them questions in the same room, I like the movie because it gets right to the punchline, which is how can you account for good? How can you account for truth?
They point that out several times. It's very obvious, and I'm glad that the filmmakers didn't gloss over that.
Mm-hmm. And so that was really refreshing because. If you see Doug Wilson's argument, it doesn't really move much. And some people might think, oh, that means he's not keeping up. No, he's not moving because he hasn't gotten an answer. And so, and you'll see that constantly through at King's College. He's, you know, he gives the car analogy. You know, he's getting in the car, but he doesn't and crashing it. The Christian car and crashing it, but he doesn't have a
what
car
he says,
to begin with.
Exactly, that Hitchens has to borrow from the Christian worldview in order to make sense of his own, that he gets in the Christian car to drive it in order to crash it.
Right.
But he can't account for his own car. He has not his own car. He has to steal someone else's.
Right, mm-hmm. And that's right off the bat. And then he gets into that somewhat at Westminster when he talks about you can't account for beauty. You can just account for randomness. I'm the one that can actually account for beauty because he has this... aesthetic theory that it has to deal with beauty rests in the fact that it is created. And of course, you know, Hitchens will say, well, that's a circular argument, but you know, Doug Wilson's smart enough to know, I don't care about a circular argument. Everybody's making a circular. He'll make the same conclusions that Van Til does, which is everybody has a circular argument in the end. So you see him not moving as far as the way in which he battles Christopher Hitchens. And that's refreshing. It's good to see kind of, you know, I'll start out presuppositional, but then I'll move to a classical position. No, that wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
Like he started this way and under the pressure didn't crack, just continued asking the fundamental questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something else that came out in the New York section too. You can really see how Hitchens has, I mean, this is, it kind of goes without saying, but it's demonstrated here. Hitchens really has a wrong view of Christianity that he's critiquing. So it's not like he has this incredible grasp of Christianity. It's kind of this hodgepodge of Christian experiences that he's railing against, and Christians in particular, you know, as individuals. So, you know, one of the things he says is, you know, if you assume the earth is 100,000 years old, let's just say, you have to believe, if you're a Christian, that for 98,000 years, there was just mass primitive suffering, because everything, you know, you had to hunt and gather, and people were killed and lived only until 25, et cetera. And then God finally decided that all this suffering needs to stop, you know, after 98,000 years. And then, you know, 2,000 years ago, that's when everything kind of came to a head. That, you know, we would say, well, obviously, you're not taking biblical theology and the whole plan of God into account.
There's no understanding of Revelation.
Exactly.
Progressive Revelation in particular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's this kind of Christianity.
Forward-looking
like,
faith.
Right, yeah.
I mean, even God's revelation to man, I mean, it's not there at all.
Right.
He thinks that, I remember one point where he talks about how the Jews knew, we assume that they knew it was right not to murder, not to steal, but God didn't tell them until Sinai.
Right, yeah.
But he goes, see, look, the culture had that without God having to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole idea is, no, man was created with the law written on his heart.
Right.
Knowing God's moral will, God revealed it expressly and to a typological son and codified it so that it's plain to everyone, so it is a revelation. He has no understanding of any of those categories.
Yeah,
it's don't expect him to, but he is not criticizing Doug Wilson's nor our form of Christianity.
That's right. He sees, you know, the Jewish faith is something that came suddenly on the scene at, you know, whatever point in history, and then Christianity as another kind of version of that that came on the scene, you know, 4B or 4AD, whatever, whenever it was, and that's a philosophy that didn't exist at all before, had no precedent. So it really, I don't know if I would call it like a straw man, but, it's definitely not the Christianity of the Bible.
Yeah. It was actually even interesting to see, a position, a biblical position that, Christopher Hitchens held on a certain parable, and he was talking to Doug Wilson about it. And then Doug Wilson actually gave him a more viable, interpretation that was based on, you know, some more, intellectual exegesis, as opposed to just sheer the Bible is just a bunch of moralism. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting the way to see Christopher Hitchens react to that was, you know, he learned from that. That was, you know, it was a positive reaction. He was like, you know, I didn't think that that's what that parable is out as the Good Samaritan parable.
Right. So, right.
That was interesting.
He was willing to learn and he asked questions, and he wasn't just entirely obstinate. And what's fun about this movie is they show, it is a documentary, so they show a lot of behind the scenes. And so you get to see him. I remember one part where he's asking him, I'm picking up this word noetic. What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know?
That was in Philly.
Yeah. Noetic. And then he answers him. It's interesting because that is something that not only atheists aren't really aware of, but a lot of theists as well, right? A lot of Christians out there, just the noetic effects of sin.
Yeah, and so important to apologetics.
Yeah. And Wilson points out that's in the Reformed tradition where it's really highlighted.
So what other elements of this movie ought we to point out for the listener and the future viewer?
Yeah, kind of in a broader scope, we've noticed we put the Philadelphia version of the debate, the full debate, on YouTube, and that's just been we've got tons and tons of hits off
that. You can see it uncut.
Yeah, right, exactly.
See what it looked like. But remember, it's part of a series.
Exactly, right. And I, you know, I was sitting right there. I was listening to it, and I thought the exact same thing that Jonathan did, that Wilson isn't touching on a lot of things that I wish he had, but not having that New York City context where he had spoken the night before. All that is to say that it's worth checking out the full debate on YouTube, but just know that you're not going to come away with it thinking, oh, Wilson just nailed it. Really, or Hitchens nailed it. I mean, it's just kind of like a going back and forth. But it's interesting to watch in context along with the movie to see the differences and the nuances.
Anything else?
Yeah, I would say one of the most important things in the movie was at the one of the last scenes in the tavern.
That's what I haven't seen yet. So I've missed the last probably 25, 30 minutes. So,
and what you
20 minutes.
What you see, first of all, when those of you who watch it, when you get to the last scene, just go ahead and ignore the questions from the audience. They are the most unintellectual questions. They just don't get out. They just...
In D.C.
Right. It's just... It's horrible. The questions are horrible. And I think anybody, you know, Christian and non-Christian both, that watches it will...
As Hitchens says, any thinking person.
Right.
Yeah.
Will be... Yeah, like, that's not really... You're not really getting at the point. But the... Basically, what it came to at the end of the movie there was Christopher Hitchens admitting that he has no basis for morality or for ultimate truth, but it's a work in progress, mm-hmm. right? And so, and this just came after a debate.
He spoke right? some about that on CBN, that Christian Broadcasting right. Network News,
right?
He had a real hard time explaining objective truth and basically said it's a process. Uh-huh. He can describe the struggle for it.
That's
not
exactly
actually
right.
what it is.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, this came out of a, you know, a debate for why it's bad to kick a pregnant lady in the stomach that's on the ground. It's like, well, we all would agree that's bad. And Christopher Hitchens, you know, can't really attempt to answer why it is bad. And Doug Wilson tries to point out that you can't account for that. You can't account for that. And as soon as he admits that truth is, or moralism is, a work in progress, Doug Wilson gives a practical 1-2 punch, which was, you know, why don't you write like that? Mm-hmm. Why don't you write as if these are unresolved, because I hear you denouncing yeah. things constantly yeah. that
you're,
I would agree with.
Yeah,
but
you're
I'm
making
saying,
a claim. You're not just kind of saying, oh, well, maybe now, but maybe not later. I mean, he's saying this goes universally, his morality. There was definitely that, and that, yeah, that was in the location in D.C. is kind of funny. It's in a tavern, and they're sitting on a couple bar stools, and there's just kind of...
That's where the movie starts. I mean, the trailer we just right. played starts with him talking about Imagine. The John Lennon
right.
film.
Yeah.
So that's the setting. So it's an interesting location.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm kind of debating right now in my head whether we should say, like, the last conversation that they have in the movie.
And as a teaser.
I mean, maybe
you can
I
leave
won't.
It to the imagination. Spoiler. You can spare me because I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I will.
And we'll leave it as a tantalizing tidbit to
yeah.
actually
I really will say
people to go get it.
Almost the whole movie leads up to the very, very last conversation right before the credits roll. It's a very, very telling thing that Hitchens admits. And it's interesting. Makes you think.
Well, you will have to pick up the DVD in order to get it. Are there any other comments we want to mention before we wrap her up?
Just going off of Jonathan's comments about questions that people have, we were able to go to the premiere, the New York City premiere,
oh,
and it was so much fun. It was at this kind of old school theater, and we got to sit. I sat right next to Doug Wilson while he's watching his own
really?
Movie. Yeah, it was a blast.
Had he seen it before?
He saw it a couple times before okay. that, and he said that he was pleased with the way it came out. And interestingly, I talked to Hitchens that same night. And then I talked to Hitchens again because I was at a apologetics conference down in Charlotte, and he was debating D'Souza there. And I asked him the same question, how he thought it came out. And he said, okay, but he didn't like the music. It's got some hip hop in it. You know, it's definitely geared towards the younger crowd with the way it's directed and everything. But going off of Jonathan's point, this is just an appeal to people. Please, if you're going to study these or even be involved in debates like this, please read up on just apologetic method and what's out there, because the questions were just, I mean, we were almost ashamed to be a part of the audience. It just was not on the level that these guys are at.
Yeah. One of the questions, just to give you an example, at the premiere was directed towards Pastor Wilson. And it was this: Pastor Wilson, why do you think God exists? Because if we go to heaven, wouldn't heaven be eternity? And wouldn't that be boring?
Yeah.
It's like, so that's your case against Christianity, is that heaven might be boring? Give me a break.
Yeah.
That's not, and that was at, you know, the premiere. So it's kind of like, thank you for wasting everybody's time. But
not exactly the big guns coming out.
Right. One of the questions that I wanted to ask, and I wasn't able to ask Christopher Hitchens, but one of the questions that I did want to ask was, but simply to go off on the fact that he constantly quotes Darwin and Sagan and has an evolutionary view of the world as far as a lot of the answers he gives. And so what I wanted to ask was not how he responds to a Christian critique of evolution or science, but how he responds to other atheists that are just as diehard as he is. How does he respond to any of the French deconstructionists that will not only say Christianity is false, but so is science. And so is any sort of game that you employ to throw yourself against another thinking system.
There are other atheists that would tear apart Christopher Hitchens.
That's right. That's the main objection.
To kind of speak for him, I think what he would say was the moral element there is that they're not claiming divine authority. I mean, when you get to the end of the movie, he has to say that again and again and again, that that's the sticking point. He hates that anybody who is quote-unquote religious has divine authority, and he says it's arrogant to claim that because you just don't know. And so I think that's the difference with a lot of atheistic philosophy out there. That's his sticking point, whether that's right or wrong, but that's what his mission is if you go back to the 9/11. Yeah.
Right, so it's more of it as if he's not giving a de facto case against Christianity. Mm-hmm. He's giving a de jure argument against Christianity in the sense that he's just upset with a lot of these guys who have claimed to have a sort of, I have a divine authority, and then they do immoral actions according to. But he can't present a whole case of this is the way the world is. This is the structure of reality. And Christianity does not match up with the structure of reality, and so that my question to him would be, what do you say to Derrida, who would agree with you that no God exists, but at the same time we're not sure if you exist either. So, the same thrust of truth value. So, that would be my only question to him, and try to see him get out of the hole of thinkers that are actually, I would say, more well-read in the school of philosophy in this sort of paradigm, and see how he would react to that. I don't know if he just, like Schopenhauer reacts to Hegel with, it's just a bunch of junk. It's just a bunch of intellectual words that are just put together, and it's just a bunch of nonsense. So I don't know if he'd just take, ad hominem arguments against each other, but that's what I'm guessing he'd do. He usually shoots them in the hip anyways.
Now to conclude, is there anything you can say about meeting these guys in person? Was there anything that struck you or anything that was surprising or just a lack thereof?
When they both came on campus, I was able to, with a few other people, we had a dinner before the debate, and it was so much fun just talking with these guys completely normally. We went down to Chestnut Hill and just had a nice meal for probably about an hour and a half or so. And Hitchens is a really nice guy. He's funny. He's engaging. He's very smart. He knows everything about your culture and how to dissect it. So he's a fun guy to be around. There's no doubt about that. He's a charming guy. And Wilson is also a pretty nice guy to be around. I mean, he's funny too. He's very well read. His blog, it's called Blog and May Blog, which is, that just blows up. I'm sure that gets just thousands of hits. So they're both really good guys. It was fun to hang out with. And then, you just get a different side of them when you actually watch the debates. Yeah. They get to it, it's battle time.
I love the part where they're quoting P.G. Woodhouse.
Yeah. That's great.
And they're laughing to the point of tears.
Yeah, they're belly laughing
with each other because they just go back and forth quote for quote, and it's just a great part.
It is. It's cool. They kind of find some common ground that they can just breathe a little.
So that's the point of contact.
There are very few people will get that term.
Woodhouse or Wodehouse?
Yeah, I might be saying that wrong.
They say Woodhouse.
I thought it was.
I don't know.
I always thought it was Wodehouse.
We are not as learned as
I am not as learned. I completely admit it. Yeah.
Anyway, so pick it up. You can get it at WTSbooks.com. I think I paid $13 for it. I mean, it's a steal.
Yeah, it's really reasonable.
And it's great. I mean, it's not just intellectually substantive, but it's a good production. I really would encourage you to pick it up.
Yeah.
Collision, Is Christianity Good for the World? Christopher Hitchens, Douglas Wilson. You can see, go to their website to find out more at collisionmovie.com. Unfortunately, it's not a Netflix the last few times I looked, but buy it. It's absolutely worth it. pick it up if you have time. Pick it up for a Christmas present or something. Pass it around. You'll enjoy it. That's all we've got for the Reform Media Review. You can visit Jonathan and Jared and see what they're doing at WTS.edu or visit the Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/Westminster Online or YouTube.com/Westminster Online. Is that correct?
That's right.
And you can also, of course, see what we're doing at reformedforum.org and all of the entire network of our websites. You can link to it from there. Thanks for listening. We hope you join us again on a Reformed Media Review.